Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Communication workers rallying to end the filibuster, support growing for locked out steel workers, and today on the show, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters fighting a billionaire in New York City. Welcome to the Friday, June 4th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Well, we have two guests on the show today. This is the first Friday of the new month. It's hard to believe it's June already. Dorsey Hager will be our first guest. He is, of course, the executive director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, one of the many sponsors of this show. ColumbusConstruction.org is their website. First thing he's going to talk about is coming out of COVID, get a work update. As you know, the trades were deemed essential workers during the pandemic, and right now more and more are getting vaccinated and more projects are being picked up. There's a supply issue in some areas, and he's going to give us an update on that and where he sees the rest of 2021. Driving Futures, recent graduation there. That's a program to get young people involved in driving trucks. And I'll tell you, there's some really good opportunities. There's a trucker shortage in America. In fact, I was reading a couple stories. There's products lying on various docks in the country that are not being delivered because they don't have drivers. And you're talking six figures. So Driving Futures, and then there's Building Futures, getting people into pre-apprenticeship programs, getting involved in the trades. And I'm hearing all kind of stories. Dorsey says that, like electricians, I guess in one project in Columbus, over 600 IBEW members will be at work. That's just one union. One union. And he also wants to give us an update on politics, specifically the council president of Columbus, Columbus City Council, Shannon Hardin. So Dorsey's going to be our first guest. Later in the show, we are going to join with Demos Demopoulos. Love that name. Demos is secretary treasurer and principal officer of Teamster Local 553, which represents workers in the fuel, school bus, bakery, and dairy industries in New York City. He also serves as secretary treasurer of Teamster Joint Council 16, which is made up of 27 local unions and 120,000 members in the New York City region. He began his Teamster career as a heating oil delivery driver, and he's been moving up the ladder ever since. And what we're going to talk about is United Metro Energy, where workers have been on strike since April 19th. Now, here's the interesting part of the story. They voted to join the Teamsters. Officially, they are not Teamsters yet. And because they want to join the Teamsters, they're being pretty much shut out by a billionaire. The guy that owns the company, who's also Greek-American, John Katsimatidis, is doing everything possible to make sure that these people do not have a first contract. And their fight is going on. They're getting a lot of support from National, even though they're still not members. That's the beauty of this whole thing. When you get involved in unions, even if you're not a full-fledged member, the unions are helping you out. And they're doing everything possible to put an end to this. I mean, these folks are working hard, and they're being paid less than their counterparts doing the same job in New York. And, you know, New York is not a cheap place to live in. You got to make some decent money in order to afford the housing and services in New York. So Demos is going to run down all of that as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. And speaking of labor struggles, about 650 members of Steelworkers Local 13-243. They're located in Beaumont, Texas. They reported for work and were turned away by ExxonMobil. And this happened over a month ago, May 1st. when the company's unfair labor practice lockout began. The company insisted on concessions in bargaining that will, number one, undermine safety, number two, hurt job security, number three, also infringe on seniority rights, and it places the community at risk. So the oil workers are once again fighting one of the largest and most powerful corporations in the world, ExxonMobil. You know they have a ton of money. Again, this is Local 13-243. And I want to take you to this video here that the steelworkers put together. Steelworkers do a great job on this, usw.org. Let's listen to the struggle of the workers in Beaumont, Texas.
Today we're here to rally support for our brothers and sisters at the lockout that are locked out in Beaumont.
One day longer, one day stronger, union power.
We're not out here locked out because we chose to be locked out. ExxonMobil chose to lock us out for not accepting their proposal, which affects our seniority, our health and safety, and our job security.
Beaumont is a union town.
We won't let you tear it down.
Beaumont is a union town.
We won't let you tear.
We're bringing this fight to their corporate headquarters, just like you see here today. We're bringing this fight through the community, educating them to the safety that's going on around there.
It's not about money, it's about safety. The last proposal, we offered up a deal. It gave us 0% pay increases for the first year. And we're not asking for anything outrageous. But there's three things that we stand for. It's our safety of our employees, seniority for our members, and security of our jobs.
Union jobs are gonna attack.
The first 3 months of the year, we profited ExxonMobil $2.7 billion. You pretty much paid us back by locking us out. You shut the gate. You locked us out. You took money from our families, and we're just there to do our job and do it safely. All I know is that when I go home, I'm a single income. I go home and I look at my boys, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, as much as I've given Exxon, as much as I've missed with my boys, you lock us out. No income coming in.
One day longer.
One day stronger.
And it's going to be our solidarity of our 600 members that pulls us through this fight.
It makes me proud. It makes me real proud. These are my brothers and sisters.
Once again, that's courtesy of the steelworkers, usw.org. By the way, the company has cut off their paychecks. And if you want to help out, just go to that website, usw.org, and you can support the steelworkers in Beaumont, Texas. On May 20th, Communication Workers of America members joined hundreds of other Arizonans at what they call End the Filibuster rallies. These took place in Phoenix, Tucson, and Flagstaff to increase the pressure on Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly to declare their support for ending the filibuster. Well, a few days later, the Arizona Democratic Party state convention members passed resolutions calling for the two to work to end the filibuster and support the PRO Act, Protect the Right to Organize, the For the People Act, as well as the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. CWA Local 7050 member and also the Arizona Democratic Party Labor Council co-chair, Angel Wells, helped circulate the PRO Act resolution and spoke in favor of its passage at the meeting. And this is what Angel said. For too long, union members have worked tirelessly to elect politicians who promise to support us and then use the filibuster as an excuse for why they can't pass legislation like the PRO Act that addresses our needs and builds union member power. Wells went on to say, "We are tired of getting the runaround. It's time for our senators to stand on the side of getting things done for working people." Again, this is out of Arizona. And this is Angel Wells, who's a member of CWA Local 7050, also a member of the Arizona Democratic Party. Monday of this week also marked International Flight Attendant Day. The Association of Flight Attendants, which is part of the CWA, shared its appreciation for members. And this is what they said. While our mastery of professionalism, courtesy, and excellent customer service is visible to all of our passengers, our constant attention and preparedness to safety might be overlooked by the casual observer. First and foremost, we are safety professionals, and as such, are always ready to jump in during a crisis, whether it be smoke in the cabin, a medical issue, or when addressing a cabin advisory. The Transport Workers Union, TWU, also recognized the occasion by honoring its members and all those who serve in that role. You've continued to serve as essential workers during the COVID-19 pandemic, putting your health and your safety even more on the line, the union said. Your dedication and grit has helped the airline industry recover from unparalleled losses. Oftentimes, overbooked flights and delays keep you away from your friends and families, yet you show up for work every day for the greater good of the flying public. We want to thank you for your incredible work. Once again, a salute to the CWA as well as the Transport Workers Union, trying to do everything to keep us safe and keep us flying in America. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Multiple sclerosis is trying to shut people down. That's what it does. MS disrupts signals, divides minds from bodies, pulls us from our lives and away from each other. MS destroys connections, so it's only fitting that connections would be its greatest enemy. Because as more connections form, maybe more questions will lead to more answers. Maybe more understanding will lead to more resources. Maybe more people sharing what they've lived through will lead to better lives. And if everyone touched by this disease, every person with MS, every family affected by it, every doctor treating it, and every individual who hears what this disease does, combine their efforts and knowledge and hope, then maybe the connections we make can become more powerful than the connections MS destroys. MS kills connection. Connection kills MS. Give what you know at msconnection.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and you can follow us on Twitter. A lot of people doing that. Our Twitter handle is AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one and welcome one of our regulars, also a sponsor. I always enjoy talking to this guy because he's always full of energy and he's always in the center of things happening in a happening city. I'm talking about Columbus, Ohio, a city that's growing by leaps and bounds, and there's a lot of construction, and that makes the head of the building trades a really happy guy. And I'm talking about Dorsey Hager, who is the executive director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me. You always give me such a nice intro, and I never reciprocate, and I apologize. But I want to tell you, it's good being with you, and it's nice talking to you, and the enthusiasm and the energy and stuff, and I appreciate you as well. So thanks so much for having me.
Well, don't slight yourself, my man. You always reciprocate with good news. And, boy, I remember it was a couple of years back, and I had you on the show, and there was, like, a bunch of announcements all of a sudden about the Columbus crew. I mean, building after building after building. And then came the Facebook edition, Amazon warehouse, Google, and then the Ohio State University expanding. I mean, there's just a lot going on. I will tell you this. I was at a I was in Chillicothe, Ohio, and this was for a wedding, and it was the week prior to the Memorial weekend. And we drove through Columbus. When are they going to fix the roads around there, buddy? Because it was a nightmare driving through Columbus to get through to Chillicothe. But it's good work. There's no doubt about that. Don't get me wrong here. But I'll tell you, that was quite a bottleneck. And it's good to see more people on the road. But I would imagine you might have some information on that. When are they going to finish some of those routes going through Columbus to go south?
Well, first of all, my apologies for Chillicothe. There's a lot of jokes there that I'll keep to myself, but I hope that you had a good time there. Second of all, it's amazing that you brought up the roads and the infrastructure in Columbus and Central Ohio, because I just told somebody this the other day, and I've got to recalibrate my drive time, because I was used to zipping around during COVID, and you could be from here to there in 8 minutes, here to there in 10 minutes. And now it's almost double that, because people are getting out, people are doing things. Of course, it's getting warmer, so we have a lot of members out doing road construction and stuff. So I've got to recalibrate. I'm glad we're coming out of COVID, but if there is one negative thing, I think that's it. You know, there's a lot more people on the roads and there's a lot more traffic. The 70-71 interchange in Columbus, which has been a multi-year project that I'm not sure when it's going to end, but hopefully soon. They're trying to tie that in, do some reconnections with downtown, make it easier for through traffic to go through the city like you did, and then also make it easier for people if they want to dump themselves off in downtown or the Short North or the Arena District to be able to do that as well. So we have a lot of members working on that. There's a lot of money tied up in that. There's a lot of infrastructure funding that's going to be coming down the pike to help get that completed as well. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, when I meet with different contractors, when I meet with different customers and end users, when I meet with our friends from One Columbus and other companies from around the world come in and they visit Columbus and they think about expanding or growing here, the two things that they ask first is, you know, do you have the people to build our facility and do you have the people to maintain it? So that's the first one. But then their second thing is, what are we going to do about infrastructure? And I think that's one of the things that holds Columbus and Central Ohio back, because we've grown too fast and not a lot of people saw this growth coming. And now that's something that we've got to address if we're going to continue to attract the Facebooks, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Amazons, and all those. And I know it is being addressed. It's just not being addressed fast enough. And like I said, I'm not trying to make an excuse or anything, but it's just the growth and the number of people that are moving here. I think behind Austin, Texas, I think we're second in percentage per capita per day of new residents. And, you know, it's like I told somebody the other day that visited me that hasn't been to Columbus in a while. They're like, you know, you guys are a big city with big city problems now, the infrastructure and some of the other issues. And I says, well, I said, I never thought I would live to see this, but we're the second largest city in the Midwest behind Chicago. So that kind of puts it in perspective. And that's some of the things that we're dealing with.
Yeah, aren't you rivaling like San Francisco in population right now, something like that?
We're right there. There's a chance, they're saying, with the new census numbers come out at the end of the year, that we could leapfrog them. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, there's just, you know, you talk about the Ohio States and then the other smaller schools, the Capitals, the Otterbeins, the Denisons in the area, and then all the people that are coming here, and then because of the job opportunities and the wage growth and stuff that are staying here, it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And it's a good problem to have, but it's a problem that needs to be addressed. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, those of you listening right now, if you're driving through there, pay attention to the signs, because on the way back home, we lost our way because it's so confusing and it was somewhat congested when we were coming home. But a lot of construction, a good thing, but, you know, for the driver, there's some challenges there, no doubt about that. With infrastructure, that brings to mind the American Jobs Plan. This is something that Biden has been pushing and going around America talking about the need to improve our infrastructure. Dorsey, to your knowledge, any idea how that would help in a growing city like Columbus, Ohio?
I think it would help a lot. I mean, from what I've been reading through the preliminary plans of his infrastructure bill, and then if I have friends that call me and ask my opinions, whether they're managers or agents or, you know, some of our delegates or even people in the state, legislature or higher, if they call and they ask my opinion, from what I've read through, it seems like a lot of what he has in there will be good. I mean, I just saw a report this morning that said the number one reason that people are not coming back to work as we come out of COVID isn't because of fear of getting COVID. It's because they lack child care. So that's part of the infrastructure that the president is wanting to address in there. There's also with research facilities. So if and when we do go through a pandemic again, instead of having to rely on China or other countries to get our PPE and our safety materials and stuff like that, we can manufacture here ourselves. But the other thing is what we just talked about and what you said is huge too, is the roads and bridges. You know, we have to have places to get from point A to point B. We have to be able to get employees and employers to where they need to go and work every day. And also, we need to continue to invest and reinvest in our secondary schools, our post-secondary schools, our colleges. And it looks like that there's a lot of funding in there to do that, because we have to get the next generation of workers ready to do these jobs that are going to be in demand. So I think this infrastructure plan, from what I've read, there's a lot in it. There's a lot of good things. I know that there's some people that are looking to tear it out and tear some things, this and that. You know, this is an infrastructure, this is an infrastructure that's separate. But, you know, I think he's going about it the right way. I think he's trying to build a coalition. I think he's trying to get buy-in on both sides of the aisle. And if he can get that and get that done and get that done soon, I think it'll only help us come out of this pandemic even quicker. And that's what we're all hopeful for.
Well, I know he asked for a lot at the get-go, over $2 trillion, and the Republicans are close to $1 trillion. And that tells me that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because they're talking. They're still far apart, but hey, you know what? $1 trillion, I'll take that. That'll work. They'll create a lot of jobs. No problem there. Let's talk a bit about the vaccine here. I'm hearing a couple of stories. And you know, there's a lot of people very, very reluctant to get the vaccine, many of them workers. I know a lot of the frontline workers are pretty concerned because they want to make sure that they're vaccinated, because you never know who's going to be in a restaurant or in a retail shop, things of that nature. What about in the building trades? What are you hearing about the trades members? What are they saying about the vaccine?
Well, we're a microcosm society. I mean, we have members who have small children, have elderly parents. You know, we had a delegate meeting the other night. One of my delegates came up to me and he said, you know, I'm glad that even though the mask mandates have went away, that guys are practicing social distancing and this and that, because he takes care of his father, who is a retired sheet metal worker and is 93 years old. He's very cautious and aware that the virus is still out there. We had Gavin French from the Columbus Department of Health come in and address our delegates and let them know that if there's anything that they want or that can be done at their local union halls to host a vaccination clinic, they will do that to make sure to get their members and their families vaccinated. Outside of that, I don't know what else more we can do. I had a meeting with Ken Stackey, who's the GM of the Columbus Clippers, earlier this week, and I brought this up to him. I said I was at a Clipper game a week ago, and I said I saw a long line in the concourse. You guys were given free J&J vaccines. And he said, yeah, the first night they did it, they had over 200 people sign up and get vaccinated. So they had done it a couple nights. They'd had tremendous success. They made it convenient. I hope that employers continue to make it more and more convenient for their employees. And I hope that they continue to stress to their employees how important it is that we all get vaccinated so we can get out of this quicker. But at the end of the day, like you said, just like my members, just like the employees, just like the people out there, you know, it's up to them whether they're going to get vaccinated or not. We all have our own beliefs. So it's going to be interesting. With that being said, obviously I'm vaccinated. I was, I was sad at the beginning of the year, like we discussed, about turning 50. But then March 9th, I was pretty happy because my age group came to the top of the list. So that was the few fleeting moments I was happy to turn 50. But I raced out, got the vaccine here at the historic St. John Arena on the campus of The Ohio State University, and went back, got my second dose. Fully vaccinated now, and I'm glad, and I'm hoping that we're going to have a good summer and continue to roll through the fall and put this in our rearview mirror.
Dorsey, stop right there. Don't feel bad about turning 50, because I beat you by 18 years this week, buddy. So don't feel bad about that.
Wow.
All right. I want to talk to you about the outlook for the summer. All right. And I know there's got to be some specific projects that you can call attention to. I mean, we already touched on the roads in that area and where that is. But any areas that are of major concern? You see a lot of brothers and sisters getting work in Central Ohio. Where do we stand right now?
Well, the big push right now is to get the Crew Stadium completed and on time. I know that the Crew wants to have that open by the 1st of July so they can play their second half of their home schedule in the new stadium. They've already sold tickets for opening night in the new Crew Stadium. So we're trying to get them as much manpower as we can to be able to get that done. As a matter of fact, our Building Futures class, which graduates next Thursday, we even placed some of those kids before they graduated, that were ahead of schedule and were on pace to graduate, and it showed an interest in either insulation or in the electrical trades, and we needed electricians and insulators down there, and we got them out and already working before they graduated to help get that job done on time. The Hilton Hotel is a huge project downtown. You and I have talked about that for a few years. The Convention Center is partnering and trying to get that new Hilton 2.0 done, which will make that property over 1,000 rooms. That gives us a showcased large-scale hotel that will help us attract another brand, another level of conferences and conventions in the city of Columbus. Has not been able to attract lately. It'll put us up there with Chicago and Las Vegas in that competition market, and hopefully set us apart from the Pittsburghs and the Charlottes and the Austin, Texas, so we can get some of these, which will just continue to create more and more work. The Short North Market Tower is a 19-story tower downtown that's been put on the back burner for 3 or 4 years. I'm hearing more and more that that's going to be a go. So I'm trying to set up a meeting with their general contractor to see actually when that's going to come out of the ground. And then I know we talk about it probably monthly on your show, but and you mentioned it at the beginning, driving down to Chillicothe. When I go up and down 315 or when I go up and down High Street, it is amazing the holes, the dirt, the cranes, the people, the mm-hmm. workers at the campus of the Ohio State University. You know, I met with Jay Casey a few months ago to take a look at the summer outlook. And on the day that we met, he said, shovels in the ground, cranes in the air, $3.5 billion worth of construction at Ohio State. And, of course, the big gem is the $2 billion OSU Medical Research Tower. So, which at the height of, you know, depending on who you talk to, the IBW guys here say at the height of that job, they'll have 650 electricians on that project. So it's coming. It's here, but there's more coming, and that's a good thing, and that's a good problem to have. So we're going to keep doing what we do, keep getting out in the community, keep doing outreach, keep trying to get people interested in the building trades, and getting some of these people who may be lacking in some of these skills to get into our apprenticeship programs, get them into these pre-apprenticeship programs, get them trained up, get them the opportunity to go to work, because that's what we're trying to do.
Dorsey, hold that thought. I know you want to talk about driving futures and building futures. We can do that next. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line. Dorsey heads the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. ColumbusConstruction.org is their website. Later in the show, we're going to talk with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. They are on strike, and they've been on strike since April 19th at United Metro Energy in New York. And the owner of the company is a billionaire. What's the problem? We'll find out about it when we talk to the Teamsters. That's coming up later in the show. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of our future. And getting back to what we love as more and more people get their COVID-19 vaccine. At the American Lung Association, we have science-based public health information you can trust to make a decision about the COVID-19 vaccination for yourself. Visit lung.org or call 1-800-LUNG-USA for more information.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Forgot to mention their Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH, BuildCentralOH. And there's a lot of building going on, as you heard in the first segment. Dorsey, I want to talk about getting people into the trades. And you and I have talked about the building futures and the driving futures. I guess there's a graduation with the driving futures. Can you speak to these programs, where we stand, and where are we going with them?
Yeah, we graduated our first cohort of driving futures for the 2021 year. And I know I've said this before in the past, but when we started to get into COVID, we weren't sure what if parts of our industry were going to be affected. And we were very fearful that the Teamsters and a lot of the, you know, same-day delivery services were going to be affected, the UPSs, the Anderson Concretes, the Eagles, Columbus Distributing, the Sigmas and those. Well, actually, COVID has, like, really heightened those industries, and there's been lots and lots of opportunities. So our graduation last week, we had a class of 9. 5 were already employed before the graduation started, and the average starting salary for the 5 that were already employed graduates was $64,000 a year. So that's wow. That's pretty impressive. And the 4 that graduated that weren't employed, and no fault of their own, they were kind of weighing their options. And the day of graduation, the Teamsters rep Josh Kincaid had 6 of his company's contractors, partners, come in and basically pitch to them what they do, what kind of hours they work, the pay and benefits, and the opportunities in the future, which would give all 4 of the remaining graduates an opportunity to weigh their best options and decide to where they wanted to go. For example, Sigma, which I sat in on these presentations. A lot of people don't know about Sigma. Sigma was just awarded a huge contract with Subway and Wendy's. So all the tomatoes, all the lettuce, all the goods that you eat when you go to Wendy's and Subway, Sigma delivers all that. So since they won those contracts, they need people, and they have a tremendous need for people, and those are really good jobs. You're working Monday through Friday. There's overtime on the weekends if you want it, and you're home every night sleeping in your bed. And a lot of their drivers are, you know, depending on the overtime and stuff, are making close to 6 figures. So it's a heck of an opportunity. Our building futures, we just finished up our first cohort of this year. We're going to start our second cohort in a couple weeks, but our building futures class graduates next week. We've already started placing many of them, like I said, with the insulators, the electrical workers. There's a tremendous need for painters, finishers, glazers, bricklayers. We talked about the Hilton Hotel. We're going to need a lot of people to put glass in at that Hilton Hotel. So we're hoping some of these kids are interested and identify as some of these trades that are really, really desperate in need of people. And we're going to help get them placed and put on that direct path to the middle class. So both these programs are doing great. County commissioners are more than overly ecstatic about the impact and the footprint that we're leaving in Central Ohio to help a lot of people that have maybe been left behind as this pandemic ends and are struggling a little bit, to help them get, like I said, on that direct path to the middle class.
Dorsey, let me ask you, you know, we're still in the pandemic, but we're coming out of it. And I'm just wondering how that has changed these occupations, because, as you know, the trades kept working through the pandemic, and the truck drivers, the Teamsters, kept working through the pandemic. And I'm wondering, with that being said, realizing this is a pretty steady occupation no matter what happens in the country. I'm just wondering, has that been a game changer as far as recruitment goes?
I think it has been a game changer as recruitment goes. I mean, you know, the negative that some people might say is these jobs can't be done from home. You know, my wife has worked from home the entire pandemic. So you know, these jobs cannot be done from home. So some people would say that's a negative. But the positive is that these jobs didn't go away, and they aren't going away. So when we went [S2] Yeah. [S1] Into these high schools, when we went into these middle schools and elementary schools, and we said, guess what? You know, when your toilet breaks or when your electricity fails and you call a plumber, an electrician, you know, that's not work that can be outsourced. That's not, you know, you can't unbolt your toilet and send it to China. That's, you're going to have to call somebody here locally. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to let people know that these opportunities and these careers exist, and we want to help them get trained to take advantage of these.
I got a visual on unbolting that toilet and sending it to China. Good luck on that one.
Yeah.
All right. That's good news. Certainly good news. Hopefully more and more people are going to be attracted to the trades because, as you pointed out, I mean, there's some really good salaries, family-supporting jobs. I mean, six figures in some cases, benefits, pensions. I could go on and on and on. It's so important that that message gets out there. All right. You wanted to speak about the council president there, and that would be Shannon Hardin. What's the situation on that?
Yeah, so this is a municipal year election. There's no statewide offices. Obviously, there's city elections. One of the biggest ones we have here in the city of Columbus is our council president, Shannon Hardin, and his team of Lourdes De Barossa Padilla and Nick Bankston are up for election. You know, they screened with us a couple of weeks ago. We talked about a lot of issues affecting workers. I've got a tremendous relationship not only with Shannon. He came on the council 7 years ago, the same time I started as the head of the building trade. So we've kind of, you know, navigated and worked through this the last 7 years together. But his brother is an IBEW 683 member. He turns out this fall, and he understands the importance of the trades and some of these great jobs. So we've just had some really good conversations with he and also his staff, Mike Brown, who's the son of a union pipe fitter from Lima, and Zach Davidson. And we've talked about ways that we can maybe strengthen contractor qualification to really put an emphasis on workforce development, apprenticeship training, but also healthcare. You know, you talk about the pandemic, healthcare is very important. We also discussed with him, which every city I think is having conversations about, is tax abatements. And we understand that Columbus has a need for tax abatements. They're not going away. Unfortunately, we need to do those in order to, like I said, compete with the Charlottes and the Pittsburghs and some of these other cities that we're trying to get some of these companies to come here and locate. But we're talking to him about a way that maybe we can tie in prevailing wage, some fair contracting stipulations to the tax abatement. So those conversations will be going on. And then we also discussed the tremendous success of the community benefit agreements, which are basically project labor agreements at the Fire Station 35 and the Linden Rec Center, where the building trades, you know, upholds their end of the bargain and not only agrees to get these jobs done on time and safely and under budget, but also to make sure we put an emphasis on a diverse workforce and a local workforce so we are creating opportunities for these people in Columbus and Central Ohio to go to work in these jobs that are being built right in their communities. So it's all great conversations. You know, I told the council president this, that, you know, if there's an issue at City Hall, Mike Brown's usually the first guy that picks up the phone, and it doesn't matter if it's 5 after 5 or 10 after 10 at night. He calls me and says, hey, here's this. You're going to read about this tomorrow. Have any questions, call me. And it's great to be able to have those people at City Hall and to have those relationships, especially, you know, like you talked about at the beginning, we're battling San Francisco. We're the 14th largest city in the country, and there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, and that goes with the legislature, too. It's important that you keep those relationships healthy, because there's always a few, and you've known this story. We've talked about this many times. There's always a few lawmakers saying, you know what, we got to get rid of prevailing wage. You know, all these states around Ohio, they've gone right to work. We got to go right to work. And often it's because of those relationships that you have and your brothers and sisters in various positions. It's because of those relationships that those things don't get to the top. They just stay, or sometimes they never even get out of committee. So it's important. I just want to say that and make sure that that continues, because we've seen what happened in other states. And I keep referencing the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, who said, oh, yeah, we went right to work. We got rid of prevailing wage. They told us all these jobs were going to come. Nothing happened. What happened?
Nothing happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you keep up what you're doing there, my brother, and good things always happening in Central Ohio. And we're going to have to run here. I got the Teamsters on line number 2. So, Dorsey, you enjoy your weekend. Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, website columbusconstruction.org, and the Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH. Okay, my friend, we'll talk to you in July.
All right. Thanks. Have a great weekend, Flash.
Okay, quick break. When we come back, Demos Demopoulos will be joining us. He's Secretary Treasurer of Teamster Local 553 out of New York, and he's going to talk about a strike that's been going on since mid-April. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. And welcome to the show, Demos Demopoulos. And I always like talking to people who just go up the ladder. Demos began his Teamster career as a heating oil delivery driver in New York, before climbing to the ranks of becoming principal officer of his local union. We're talking about Local 553 out of Brooklyn, New York, and he's here to talk about a crazy strike going on. And the guy that owns the company, I mean, he's got lots of money. Multi-billionaire. Demos, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Flash. It's a pleasure.
And how long altogether have you been involved with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters? How many years now for you, buddy?
This is going to my 43rd year. As you said, I started out driving a heating oil truck through the boroughs of New York City, and was the youngest shop steward, youngest board member. And since 2004, I've been the principal officer at Local 553, which is the oldest Teamster local in New York, I'm proud to say.
Wow. How many members right now?
Right now, we're hovering around 4,000 members.
4,000 members. That's a lot. And we're talking fuel delivery, school bus, bakery, dairy industries in New York City. And also, now you're with Joint Council 16, which is made up of 27 local unions and 120,000 members in the New York City region. You got to tell me what the heck's going on at United Metro Energy. I mean, this is ridiculous. And it's not surprising. I mean, there's a lot of very rich people in America, and I mean super rich, that just don't want to pay their workers. And obviously, this is the case at United Metro Energy. So, Demos, it's all yours. What's going on here?
Thanks a lot, Flash. Well, about 2 years ago, we organized a group of workers there that were unorganized. We do have a relationship with the company for other classifications within the company. But these are a group of terminal operators that are responsible for taking in the boats, the barges full of oil, transferring them over to the tanks on land, and keep inventories, and to actually responsible for overseeing the loading of the trucks that come in, whether it be gasoline, diesel fuel, or heating oil. Also, we organized a contingency of fleet mechanics there, and also service techs that repair the heating oil equipment in people's houses and buildings. So for 2 years, the company dragged their feet, and probably in the last 6 months, we've met more often with the company, but they continue to take baby steps. We filed a ULP charge, unfair labor practice charge, against the company today, as a matter of fact, that he has fired a number of the employees, permanently replaced a number of the employees. He's threatened to cut off their medical insurance, all because, like you said, he just doesn't want to pay what the area standards are for the rest of the industry, the heating oil industry in New York. Many of his employees are getting paid $10 an hour less than the rest of the industry. They have little or no retirement benefits, and they have inferior medical benefits. So we're trying to level the playing field and make sure they get their due, these guys.
So they're firing workers, and they're bringing in replacements and other scabs. Do we have any count on that right now, Demos, or what?
Right now, we think it's only two or three, which is not enough to operate the terminal safely. We've also informed the commissioner of the fire department about how terminal workers on site, only one of them, we believe, is certified to do the work that needs to be done there, which means that it's quite possible that the facility is being run maybe illegally. We're looking into that right now.
Mm-hmm. How are the workers holding up right now?
They are fantastic. And today I'm happy to say, even though they're not members of the Teamsters as of yet, because we're trying to get a contract for them, their first contract, Jim, I just got off the phone a little while ago with Jim Hoffa, and I thanked him so much because the out-of-work benefits department of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters just sent me a packet of 5 weeks' worth of strike benefits at a reduced rate because they're not full-fledged members. But in any event, it's a total of $750 a man, which is much needed. They're also waiting for unemployment. And as you know, the rules were changed. That used to be you had to wait 8 weeks if you went on strike to get an unemployment check. And the Department of Labor changed that to you only need 2 weeks to be out. So they'll be getting one of my guys already got it, but the others are waiting to get that nice retro check. As you can imagine, being a month and a half out of work, the bills are piling up.
Yeah, it's nice to have the right people in the Labor Department, I'll tell you that.
absolutely,
no doubt.
Absolutely, yes. And I'm particularly happy to hear about the appointment or the nomination President Biden made of Gwen Wilcox to the NLRB board, as I know her for years, and her office is in my same building here on 14th Street and 8th Avenue.
Oh, how about that? Yeah, I just had that story the other day. That's I know some of the conservatives aren't too happy about that. How can you put a pro-union person on the NLRB? But it's okay, Demos, to put a union buster, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I tell you, my hat's off to the Teamsters. I mean, you're treating them like members, and they're not really members yet. I mean, they're trying to get a contract, but you're still.
It's funny you say that because I've become close with these guys. I actually refer to them as brothers, even though it's not official and they haven't taken the oath yet. But for them, standing strong makes me proud. And also, I can't thank enough all the support I'm getting from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, from Joint Council 16, and every single local in New York. I have a lot of friends, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, yeah, after 40 years, I would hope so, you know?
Well, you make a few enemies along the way, too, but the friends outnumber the enemies.
I understand. Yeah, you got to make sure that balance is right.
Right. Well, I make sure it's tilted to one side, for sure.
Exactly. Okay, now, what about beyond unions here? Because when it comes to any kind of job action, you know, Demos, you got to involve and engage the community. You got to bring the churches in, the civic leaders, whatever politicians you can muster to show that, hey, now wait a minute, you know, this is New York. I mean, these guys are trying to make a decent living. Is that happening in that area?
Yes, it is. I'm very happy to say we engage the electeds early on. I'm very happy to say that we had mayoral candidate Scott Stringer, whom the Joint Council is supporting for mayor. He came down to the picket line and walked with the guys for a while and asked some questions. Senator Chuck Schumer, which was, again, a highlight of our day, he stopped by and had pictures taken with the guys. We've had State Senator Julia Salazar there. We have a newly elected assembly member that represents the particular neighborhood, the section of Brooklyn that this facility is in. She's been down, and they've been very, very, very helpful.
Well, that's good. So what's the next step here? I mean, this has been going on since April 19th. You indicated that the workers are hanging in there, but still, that's a long time, and I'm just wondering what needs to be done here. I mean, obviously, we're going to get the word out here on this show, and we're on five different platforms with our podcasts and all that. Hopefully, we can get some support for you nationally. But and plus, you mentioned the national union, the Teamsters. What's the next step? That being said, Demos.
Well, it's been slow going because in most of the negotiations, all the conversations have been involving the pension. And he's very reluctant to get into a pension. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to have them have a 401k, which is great for a lot of industries, a lot of workers. But in our industry, it's pension. And, you know, it's a difficult job, and you want to make sure that at the end of the road that you can substantiate to take care of your family comfortably when you're done working. So that's where the big battle is. And I'm happy to say that tomorrow morning we're engaging in negotiations again, and I hope that something good comes out of it. Otherwise, the battle will continue.
There you go. All right, my friend, we're going to leave it on that note. I hope it goes well. I'm going to drive people to your website. It's teamsters.nyc. Real simple. Teamsters, plural, .nyc. We're talking Teamster Local 553 out of Brooklyn, New York. They're also posted on Facebook. You can follow them on Twitter. I mentioned it was Joint Council 16. Just go to Teamsters JC16, and you can get updates there as well. Well, you hang in there, my brother. Hopefully this will end sooner than later. And please keep us informed on what we can do here on America's Workforce, okay?
That's great. I want to thank you so much for the time, Flash, and I wish you the best.
You got it. All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, the American Federation of Teachers in West Virginia and LIUNA in Minnesota. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.